If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One game into the 2024 NFL season, and it's decided by a toenail? I just got my toes done, actually, on Thursday. I had no idea how significant toes would be for the first game of the 2024 NFL season. It's back, and it's better than ever. Now, we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to break down. Chiefs, Ravens in Kansas City, big moments, huge plays for newcomers like Derrick Henry, who scores the first touchdown of the NFL season, and Xavier Worthy out of Texas. As if the Chiefs needed another speedy wide receiver. But he already has made an impact. But this one's still hanging in the balance in the final seconds of the game. On Thursday night, the Ravens have one last shot, one last opportunity. And we'll get the call from the great Kevin Harlan, who started his 40th season calling NFL games tonight.
Shotgun snap. He moves up in the pocket. Right tackle block. He runs around in a circle. Cocks his arm. Throws in the end zone. It's caught in the back of the end zone with the feet down. Likely got it. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Baltimore! Likely! Back of the end zone. And a leap holds it down.
The runner's toe hit out of bounds. It's an incomplete pass. The game is over. Kansas City has won.
Oh, are you kidding me? As if we didn't already know, the NFL is full of drama and the best reality show on TV. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love to hear from you at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And we'll get to the full week one slate. We'll put our poll up so that you can pick the After Hours game of the week. But first, we don't often do this, but it's a special occasion. We're pleased to welcome our guest tonight, former Baltimore wide receiver, NFL veteran, Super Bowl champion, part of the pre- and post-game show for these Ravens, and of course, really important that he's also identified as my friend, Qadri Ismail, joining us now. Qadri, what was your perspective on that last-ditch attempt by the Ravens?
Amy, I am still sitting here in disbelief. Just, wow. I know we always say that, you know, football is a game of inches, and it proved to be that for last night's game. It just was unreal how Lamar Jackson and company went into a game where there were a lot of questions that needed to be answered. I think still need to be answered, but for the most part, it was a very competitive back-and-forth battle, and two teams that hopefully we will be seeing lots of them come the postseason.
So not just the Isaiah Likely with his toe on the line, but 10 seconds before that, Zay Flowers and Lamar Jackson, they can't connect. Zay's wide open in the back of the end zone. As a former wide receiver, what did you see on that play? What was your reaction?
Yeah, it is interesting because I was listening to Lamar speak after the game, and he was talking about, you know, the route combination. He was actually looking at Rashad Bateman and was hoping that Bateman would stop. And so when he got rid of the ball right at the last second, he saw how they came open, and, you know, just unfortunate that he wasn't able to get into his vision to begin with. But certainly the route combination, you know, called for, Bateman to be the guy, but unfortunately he didn't see Zay Flowers.
122 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson, more than any game last season in the first year with the new offensive coordinator. I guess we don't call him new anymore, but Todd Monken, what does that say to you about Lamar and about this offense?
Well, I know one thing. Him being lighter is actually to his benefit. You know,
yeah.
He went into last year, talked about, well, 2 years ago, technically, talked about needing to beef up. He was beefing up, yeah, but you can also see he lost some of that elusiveness, and I would say that his elusiveness is back. He looked really good the statistics show it, but I love the fact that the way he was able to, you know, run around with the football, he was very decisive, and you could see how, you know, his speed and the way he was pulling away from defenders was on full display.
What about the addition of Derrick Henry? What can that mean for this offense?
Well, you know, I'd love to see more of Derrick Henry. I think, you know, Todd Monken, I'm sure, whatever the game plan was to get Derrick Henry the football, but then I think he seemed to have kind of gone quiet in featuring him. He did get in at some critical points later in the game, but I loved how, we're going to use Derrick Henry, and, you know, it was critical to see him obviously get the first touchdown of the NFL season. But it was in the red zone where I thought he was going to be most effective. The offensive line, just bottom line, needs to improve. I think that's where maybe perhaps he wasn't able to get more touches because they were looking at just the way the offensive line wasn't giving him the necessary holes to get into that second level. But really impressed with Derrick Henry when he was able to get loose.
Kadri Ismail has spent 10 years in the NFL as a wide receiver, won a Super Bowl ring with these Baltimore Ravens, and he's the co-host of Purple Pregame and Postgame on WJZ-TV in Baltimore, joining us after the season opener. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So let's talk a little more about the offensive line. Starting out the game, a bunch of those penalties for the illegal formation that the NFL is going to be harping on. How quickly would you expect a line to get up to speed, especially with so many new parts?
Yeah, here's the weird thing about that one. In training camp, you know, John Harbaugh and company, they get the pro refs to come in, and they talked extensively about that, and they seem to have thought that they were okay. And so now you go into the, you know, biggest game as far as an opener and all that, and trying to establish a level of momentum for yourself, and you know, you see that they're calling you for a illegal formation, yet at the same time, when you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs were doing, they were doing the same thing. And so I guess I'm confused as much as I would believe Ronnie Stanley would be confused that, well, wait a minute, what really is the rule that you're going to call and be consistent with?
So about the offensive line, right, that particular series of plays notwithstanding, they've got three rookies, right, along with Stanley. So how quickly can they become a cohesive unit?
They need to be quickly be. My goodness, it just didn't look good. I think Lamar Jackson makes a lot of offensive lines look like they're all pro. Otherwise, you know, yeah, there were times where Chris Jones, he was just teeing off on Lamar. And I thought at the same time, you know, Daniel Fa'alele, you know, as big as he is, I think it's a situation where he needs to, you know, find that inner dog in him and just let it loose. Because there were just times where he just didn't seem like he was as into it as he needed to be. And, I would just say it that way.
Your nickname when you played was the Missile, Kadri. So what is your initial impression of Xavier Worthy with the Chiefs?
Woo! My goodness, he's a speedster for sure. Any speedster, and I not having a nickname, the Missile, just because I was just trying to be cute with it. Nah, I could flat out fly. And I just think that for Worthy, he was like, goodness, for him to touch the ball and be able to run away from defenders the way he did was super impressive. Great vision, great understanding of where to go and how to continue to make a big play for his team. And then I thought, you know, the fact that he had got a league MVP, a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, and arguably the best quarterback in football, and Patrick Mahomes, makes your job a lot easy on that second touchdown. But he's a talented young man.
The way he accelerated through the defense on his first touch, so the reverse of that initial drive, but Yes, he's fast. He might be like a missile, not to take your nickname away. But goodness, it felt like the second they saw him, he was already gone.
Yeah, and if he takes a missile as a nickname, hey, go ahead, bro. Are you deserving of it? You know, I think Kansas City is a team that likes the splash plays, likes the big plays. They do a lot as far as their formations. They do a lot as far as their personnel. But ultimately, you got to make plays, period. He made a heck of a play, and I can see where, you know, as the season goes on, he's going to be making more and more of plays like that.
Last year, the Ravens defense was the number one scoring defense in football. They're terrific. How does this group compare? I know it's just one game, but overall, how do they compare?
As far as the Ravens defense from last year to this year, you know, I think there's opportunity to grow. There's, you know, just some little situations where I was like, huh, you know, that's not good. You know, whether it be just poor tackling out in space, the miscommunications that, you know, you're burning timeouts. The way in which,
if you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You got, you know, a veteran and Marlon Humphrey saying that, you know, he thought it was one thing when it wasn't, and allowed for the second touchdown to come about for Worthy. Yeah, it just seemed like the defense couldn't necessarily, from a just execution discipline standpoint, I think there's still more that this team needs to do to put themselves at that level of where that defense that was last year for the Ravens to even mention in the same sentence.
You, when you played, training camps were different, right? The rules were different for how many padded practices and how many practices overall. Knowing what we know now about preseason and training camp, where a lot of guys aren't out there on the field for games, they don't get a lot of reps preseason. How long does it take to find that consistency as a team when you haven't had a lot of snaps together?
Yeah, every team is different. You know, when it comes to that preseason and what they perceive as prep time for themselves, the Ravens, they don't. They do have a very strenuous practice for preseason, and they get after it, you know, with the different, you know, scrimmages plus the padded practices that they'll have and back-to-back days and all that. I am curious. How quickly can Zach Orr, the new defensive coordinator for the Ravens, get his defense up to speed? You know, Las Vegas is going to be right around the corner. They're going to be coming to M&T Bank Stadium. I know that they're going to be looking to secure their first win of the season, and it's going to be a tough one. I think that's where, for the Ravens, you know, as a defense, they're going to have to, it's trial by fire. Let's go. Let's go.
How many times did you yell "Mother of Pearl" during this game?
Girl, I was yelling it all caps, all caps. I was so just like, man. I mean, it was an entertaining game, no question. But from a Ravens perspective, you just saw where there's so much left on the field.
This is it's obviously a long haul now with the 17 games, the 18 weeks. There's trips overseas. I mean, the way that the NFL manages the schedule, where they somehow have games on every single day of the week now with the Christmas stuff. What type of, I don't want to call them secrets, but what type of priorities and what type of ways do guys manage to stay as healthy as possible throughout the course of what is a long and arduous season?
You know what? I am a sports and human movement specialist. That's what I do. I love it. And obviously, the way the Ravens season is going to be shaping up with, you know, you talk about Christmas. I mean, there's what, three games in 10 days towards the end of the season for this Ravens ball club that's staring right in the face for them. I think that recovery is going to be critical for this Ravens ball club, and quality of depth is going to be tested as the season goes on. They probably take up every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and if they had to play Friday, they would probably play Friday as well on this Ravens schedule. They play, you know, a very interesting yet demanding schedule, and you know, that's what happens when you're one of the best in the league. So there's no excuses. You're going to have to play it. It's so be it. But I think also it's going to be imperative for them as an organization to prioritize the ability to recover.
What's your perspective on the AFC North in 24? It was the toughest division in football last year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a repeat performance. You look at all the quarterbacks. I think Deshaun Watson is the one that is going to be front and center as far as the most that has to really prove himself, especially after coming off a disappointment last year with his shoulder injury. I think Mike Tomlin is got his hands full with Justin Fields and whether or not, you know, Russell Wilson can be, you know, kind of that quarterback that we saw in Seattle, or is he going to be the guy that is going to be frustrated what we saw from the Denver Broncos phase of his career. And then clearly Joe Burrow, you know, I know he's going to be itching to get back to the upper echelon of QBs in general, let alone the AFC North. But, yeah, this is going to be a very competitive division yet again.
Kadri, before I let you go, of course, we could talk about your time in the NFL, Super Bowl champion, what you do now, the TV, but you're also a dad. At last check, your son was on the Ravens practice squad, so I hope that's still the case, but what does that mean to you?
Yeah, no, it's still there. He's still there. He's done just an amazing job, I think, from the time his collegiate career ended to when he had his pro days and he had to kind of get himself into a position where, yeah, he earned the right to show that he belonged on the grand stage. And hopefully this is a springboard to not only be on the practice squad, because that's not the end goal. The end goal is to be active and playing on games. Or in games on Sundays or whatever day, Monday, Thursday nights, whatever it might be, but making plays and making significant plays. But, you know, the step for him is through the practice squad, and I am just incredibly proud of the way he has put himself in this position and shown himself as a talented tight end.
Does he ask you what it was like to be in the league?
Well, you know, I literally, once his season was over with back in November, we put forth a game plan, and a lot of that was just talking about the mental process of the game and what he needed to do. And then obviously training camp comes about and, you know, just the nuances of the game. So for me, it's about, you know, whether or not I'm a good listener for him and the sounding board, or if he is asking me for, you know, my opinion on certain things and what I see, you know, for him to help himself get better. You know, I'm that person. I'm not trying to relive my career through him, but be available to him. I call myself his consigliere. Hey, man, whatever you need, I'm there for you to help you be the most successful person that you can be. So when you look back on this time, you can say you gave it your all and you were prepared for whatever comes your way.
Well, I certainly look forward to following him, and I know how proud you are of him and how hard he's worked just from hearing it from you, and definitely be rooting for Kadir to make it onto the 53-man roster and get out there and play himself in the league. So Kadri Ismail, 10 years in the NFL as a wide receiver, a Super Bowl champion with the Ravens, co-host of Purple pregame and postgame on WJZ TV in Baltimore. I miss playing golf. We need to do that at some point again. Because
yes,
that's the best. I know you don't love to stay up late, Kadri, so thank you for doing this. I really appreciate a couple of minutes. Good to talk to you.
It is always awesome talking with you. No problem as far as staying up late. Love talking shop with you. Let's catch up. Absolutely.
All right. Kadri Ismail, good stuff. Coming off of the Ravens and the Chiefs and the season opener for the NFL. And yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement for both these teams. There were some sloppy moments. There were some missed plays, of course. There are moments that both these teams will want back. It's just about getting out there and finding that rhythm and consistency. It really is a race to consistency in the first month or so. Great to talk to Kadri, and love the fact that we could ask him about being a father to a budding NFL player as well. Yeah, he's one of those early risers. We're kind of the opposite when it comes to that. For those of you who are in Baltimore, if you missed it or you want to hear it again, we'll have that conversation on our podcast. All right, we're just getting started. 855-212-4227. If you want to talk Ravens and Chiefs, momentarily we'll get the poll up because it's week number one. We need you to help us pick the After Hours game of the week. And you can use our show Twix at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. Can you believe it? It's finally here, and we're off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is second down and two. Pat Ricard, lead back in the power eye. Henry, the deep back. Gives it to Henry. Right side, powers his way in. Touchdown, Ravens! Derrick Henry, touchdown number one as a Raven. Touchdown number one of the 24 season.
And now the Chiefs will bring it on an end around to Xavier Worthy at the 20, 15 of the Ravens, 10, 4, touchdown! Kansas City rookie Xavier Worthy on a perfectly executed, well-blocked end around, right to left, and a 21-yarder.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On both the Ravens and Chiefs radio networks, Jerry Sandusky and Mitch Holtis as those familiar voices, and the NFL is back, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and there's a lot to talk about with this game, and I'd love to hear from you as well. Online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, plus our phone number 855-212-4227. This game started with a pair of touchdown drives, one for each team, but it really wasn't that simple. I mean, Baltimore, as I talked about with Kadri Ismail, had several flags. On the first four or five snaps, there were three flags for illegal procedure along that offensive line. And then the opening drive seemed to be stunted, but Lamar and his offense able to come up with a few chunk plays, deep throw for Justice Hill, another one for Zay Flowers. And then Lamar himself running for a first down. Kadri talked about how he's dropped weight. That's been a big theme around Lamar Jackson, that he's been able to lose some weight. He looks more mobile. He looks healthier. In fact, he himself has said that if he hadn't been hurting at the end of last year in the AFC Championship, that the Ravens would have been in the Super Bowl. Those are his words, not mine. Ultimately, that first touchdown of the season is Derrick Henry in purple, a 5-yard touchdown that capped the Ravens' 70-yard drive. Kansas City, though, right away, you can see the options and the speed. We know Andy Reid loves the motion. He loves those misdirection plays. He loves to confuse defenses. Well, when you've got the kind of speed and the depth that the Chiefs seem to have right out of the gate, well, it's going to be tough.
That was beautiful.
We know about Rashee Rice. He's a second-year player. Isaiah Pacheco, same thing. And then Xavier Worthy, his first touch comes on a reverse, and his career, his rookie career, has a highlight reel moment before we can even figure out what the heck is happening because he's that fast. First touch is full of afterburners right through the second level of the defense, and a 21-yard score. Duh, I know, Pete, we have him talking about that first touchdown. It's kind of funny to hear what he has to say about how they worked on it in preseason.
This is everything I dreamed of. Like I said before, I didn't want to go nowhere else but the Chiefs. So just having this moment and it showing up how it is, it's just an amazing feeling. Man, it was was crazy.
There you go.
We ran that in the preseason. I fumbled. So, I mean, it was kind of bad. But just being able to, for them to have that trust in me, and I told Coach Nagy, I think this play is going to score, and it happened. So, it was just an amazing moment, just my first touch being a touchdown in the field.
When did you tell him that?
We talked about, we had a walkthrough this morning. I told him this morning in the walkthrough.
Nice. So he was confident in it, but he wasn't sure they were going to call it considering they ran it in the preseason and he fumbled. That's Xavier Worthy out of Texas. His first NFL game is quite a doozy because he also had a receiving touchdown in the second half. A couple of other moments that stood out from that first half. Chris Jones, he has his big paw right in on Lamar Jackson, gets around him and strips him for a fumble early in the second quarter. The Chiefs end up with a field goal on that one. The Kansas City defense also forced a turnover on fourth down in the first half, but still ends up not being able to take advantage of these offensively. There's another drive that stalled for the Chiefs, or excuse me, that stalled for the Ravens that put them at midfield. Justin Tucker actually missed a field goal. So yeah, there were moments that I think both teams felt like they were leaving points out there on the field, both halves. But looking at the first half, a missed field goal and not taking advantage of the possessions in the red zone, Patrick Mahomes gets picked off by Roquan Smith late in the second quarter. That was odd, too. You don't often see Mahomes that off or make that poor of a decision. There was a little bit of traffic around him, but it's not like he was getting knocked over. He just made a really poor throw and a poor decision. But Baltimore kept settling, too. So both teams in the red zone only able to take advantage one time, and it was 13-10 at half. Though, this was significant. The Ravens were already over 100 yards rushing at that point. And if you remember, as much as the Chiefs' defense was the catalyst for their Super Bowl last season, their Achilles heel was stopping the run, and Lamar looked a lot better. He looked healthy. He looked fresh. Obviously, the legs are not feeling heavy like they do at the end of a season, but definitely healthier and having less weight to carry made him a lot more dangerous. To start the second half, they're both able to put together 80-yard drives. They get into the fourth quarter. It's still just a three-point game, and so we'll get to some of the moments there late. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun to see these two teams go, okay, I'm going to use it toe-to-toe. just because they are expected to be, again, two of the top teams in the AFC. But you also got to see how much room there is for them to improve, how much more they'd like to get out of their possessions, out of their games. And so, yeah, it was real competitive, but neither one of them is in midseason form. And that's honestly what these first four, five games are about, is who can settle in quickly. But a couple of things that stand out, what we talked about Lamar and what he's able to do and having more rushing yards in this game than he did in any game last season. And also the fact that Patrick Mahomes and the offense for Andy Reid, yet they're not starting in a place where he's having to bring all these guys along and, man, there's been a ton of turnover and they're not going to be as good and it might take until midseason for them to be on board. No, he's got guys who not only played with him last year, Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, we talked about, Noah Gray got the contract extension on Thursday, Isaiah Pacheco, Justin Watson, but you've also got Xavier Worthy being added to it. And then I just suppose if you're considering him, well, he's not supposed to be a receiver, right? But he did catch a ball that was batted back to him. But if you're considering him as a weapon too, because of what he can do to extend plays and how he can run, he doesn't run like Lamar, but he can run and he can find those openings. And you're looking at a lot of options for the Chiefs offensively. Though Andy Reid was focused on the defense after the fact and highlighting the defense as well. So we'll get to the end of the game because there were some delicious moments there, some great play-by-play, and also get to the post-game reaction specifically from Isaiah Likely. And if you didn't know, Kevin Harlan, he's doing play-by-play for Westwood One again this year, and he and the Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner, they are the number one tandem for Westwood One. I was listening to their pregame, which was hosted by Rich Eisen, and they were congratulating Kevin, who is one of our favorite guests here on the show, starting his 40th year calling NFL games. How about that? And if you've never heard his story, it's actually on our YouTube channel. He's got a really unique entry into the business, how he decided he wanted to work in sports and do play-by-play. It goes back to when he was a kid and his dad was working for the Packers. So I might have to share that with you on social, but it is on our YouTube channel. He is a legendary voice. 40 years in, and the energy that he brings to the table, and not just the knowledge, but the fact that he's like a Vin Scully in that he never seems to miss a play. Never. I mean, do you ever hear him mess up, Marco?
Not that I can remember.
No. 40 years.
40 years.
He doesn't even seem that old, does he?
That's 40 years is a long time. I didn't realize it was 40 years. Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
But we actually, we put together a montage that we'll have to share with you at some point during the show. Plus, you know, some of our favorite drops, some of our favorite crazy moments from Westwood One in the NFL come from Kevin Harlan, where he's doing play-by-play for streakers or protesters or black cats or, I mean, he never misses a beat. So
he's got a sense of humor, too. He can laugh at himself.
He does.
It comes across.
He does not take himself too seriously. He used to be on social media. He's not anymore. He got out of it a couple of years ago because he just decided it wasn't healthy for him. And so I put it out there on my own Twitter account, and Westwood One picked it up too. But yeah, congratulations to the legendary Kevin Harlan. 40 seasons behind a microphone calling NFL games. And in my opinion, my humble opinion, he's been one of the best in the business for a long time. At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. We'll get that poll up for Game of the Week, and we'll get to some of your calls, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. Oh, I love talking about football. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save with your bundle. Get a quote. Progressive.com. Just like the AFC Championship game, Chiefs able to turn aside the Ravens by a touchdown. Isaiah Likely ruled to have his toe out of bounds on the final play of the game, allowing the Chiefs to survive 27-20.
Looked like we had an opportunity here to tie the game up or try to win it with a two-point conversion. So it didn't happen at the end. But proud of the way the guys fought. We're only going to get better from here on out, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to getting back to work next week and getting ready for the Raiders.
Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson accounted for 395 yards, 273 in the air and a score, another 122 on the ground. Likely had 111 yards receiving and a touchdown. Derrick Henry added 46 yards, 13 carries, a score in his Baltimore debut. Patrick Mahomes threw for 291 and a TD. Rashee Rice, 7 catches, 103 yards. Rookie Xavier Worthy, a touchdown rushing and receiving. Chiefs kicking off the season with a victory with Andy Reid knowing just how close it was.
It was two heavyweights in a fight right down to the end, and when they say it's a game of inches, it might be shorter than that.
So another one-score game with these two, and Isaiah Likely firing this shot at the two-time defending champs.
I say this is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So this is the best that they got. I mean, good luck in the postseason.
Meanwhile, Russell Wilson won the starting job in the preseason over Justin Fields. Apparently, his calf injury not completely in the rearview mirror. Wilson limited at Steelers practice. He'll continue to monitor his situation. Cowboys know their quarterback is Dak Prescott. The question is for how long. Dak entering the final year of his deal, still talking extension, and he knows it wouldn't be a bad idea to get this done before the year kicks off Sunday.
Maybe from a team aspect, yeah. You know, I've always talked about how present I can be, but understanding not everybody is capable of that, to be honest with you. There could definitely be some benefit in that.
Baseball. Phillies race the Marlins 5-2. Giants have been the D-backs 3-2 on a Patrick Bailey walk-off RBI double. Pirates overwhelmed the Nationals 9-4. Rockies 3, Braves 1. Mariners topped the A's 6-4. Twins handled the Rays 4-3. Rangers topped the Angels 3-1. Parker Meadows a grand slam in the ninth. Tigers stunned the Padres 4-3. And it was the Reds over the Astros 1-0. U.S. Open women's final is set. Aryna Sabalenka will take on Jessica Pegula on Saturday. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
The
Pacheco. We'll get it on a handoff. Waits for a block. Churning his feet. And they'll push him back. He'll gain only a half yard. And now second effort. Did they blow it? They did not. They couldn't bring down Pacheco. Touchdown, Kansas City. Play to the whistle or beyond it. And the Chiefs have six. Pacheco stays in the game as running back left. And now sprints in motion to the right flat. Mahomes will throw it right sideline, wide open, with the catch, Xavier Worthy, 10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, Xavier Worthy, the second time in the end zone in the first game of his career.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The two second half touchdowns for the Kansas City Chiefs called by Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio, and yet they still could not put the Ravens away. Baltimore able to generate a long possession, short yardage, 56 yards for a field goal that pulled them within a touchdown. And there are times, maybe not the first game of the season, but there are times where you think you give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes and his offense with 5 minutes to go at home, and you're not likely to see that ball again. Except the Ravens defense forced a punt after the Chiefs only took 3 minutes off the clock. So they give the ball back to Lamar Jackson and Baltimore just inside the 2 minute warning. But get this, on their own 13-yard line, pinned them pretty deep. Matt Araiza, by the way, remember he was drafted by Buffalo. He was with the Bills. He got accused of being part of a gang rape. The Bills released him. Later turns out that the woman who accused him was making up a lot of what she said, and he was nowhere to be found. But yeah, his NFL career was on ice for a while, and now he's with the Kansas City Chiefs. So he pins the Ravens down deep in their own territory, and Lamar Jackson's got a minute and 50 seconds to try to get them almost the entire length of the field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He mixes it up a little bit. Isaiah Likely catches a short pass. Jackson himself scrambles nearly for a first down. And we saw a lot of that. He took off a bit. And sometimes it's the lateral. Sometimes it almost looks like he's running figure eights until he can extend a play and find an opening. Now, remember, Baltimore was out of timeouts at this point because they had used two early in the second half, inexplicably, just trying to get themselves on the same page. And so they were without timeouts. The big play, though, that made this one really interesting in the final minute, Jackson's able to find Rashad Bateman deep down the right side. So he was doing his thing, scrambling, extending the play. Bateman breaks, and once he catches that ball, he's able to scramble a bit. So 38 yards, boom, right into the red zone. And yeah, this was in the last, 20 seconds or so. Again, they're unable to stop the clock a whole lot. They had either had to get out of bounds or move the chains to stop the clock. And so they go first and goal, and Lamar misses Likely on what was a short incomplete pass. And on second and goal is the one where I'm not the only one, I'm sure, does a facepalm Friday. What just happened? Because in fact, this was probably the moment where the Ravens can look back and think, yeah, that was our opportunity, because Zay Flowers got himself wide open in the end zone.
Lamar in the shotgun, Justice Hill to his right, two receivers to the left, two to the right. 10 seconds remaining, Lamar takes the snap. Steps up in the pocket under pressure. Fires to the end zone. He missed a wide open Zay Flowers. Flowers was wide open in the back of the end zone, and Lamar threw it behind him.
Yeah, that was tough. And the look on Lamar's face, I mean, he's grinning under his face mask that he's got with his helmet. But yeah, knew it. And Zay broke perfectly to get away from his defense. He's coming across the back, and for some reason, Lamar was a couple feet behind him, so really Zay couldn't even make a lunge for it. Whether he thought Zay was going to stop at some point, stop and wait for the ball there, or if he just threw it off the mark. It didn't seem like that, though. It seemed more like he expected Zay to be in a different spot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So that was 10 seconds to go, right? So Baltimore's in the two-minute drill. They go all the way down the field. They've got a couple of shots at the end zone, but he misses Zay with 10 seconds left, and that puts us on what was the final play of the game. And this is the Chiefs' version of that final play.
5 seconds left. Ravens at the 10-yard line of Kansas City. Chiefs trying to play picket fence defense at the goal line. Jackson's been elusive in this game. Big rush by Kansas City. Spinning around is Jackson. He will throw it late at the back of the end zone, and the pass is caught. It's a touchdown for the Ravens. 9 yards deep in the end zone by Isaiah Likely. And what a great play by Lamar Jackson to keep the play alive and find Likely at the back of the end zone. Now will the Ravens go for two to try to win it?
Ruling on the field is a touchdown. The ruling of touchdown is under further review.
Oh, goodness. Did his toe go out of bounds? It looks like his toe might be out of bounds. This is really close.
The runner's toe hit out of bounds. It's an incomplete pass. The game is over.
Sean Hockley, I've never loved you more, brother. Incomplete. And Kansas City wins this game by a toenail. And Kansas City wins it 27-20. Isaiah Likely with the catch, but a half a toenail. He didn't clip his toenails before the game, and the Chiefs get their first victory of the 2024 season. What an incredible, dramatic victory by the Kansas City Chiefs, 27-20 over Baltimore.
It definitely was dramatic, although the toenail really has nothing to do with it. What the Ravens really wish is that Isaiah Likely had shoes or feet that are a half inch shorter. Yeah, so Lamar Jackson, Isaiah Likely talking about that final connection.
I thought it was a touchdown, but I still think it's a touchdown. I mean, he was just open, and I've seen, I don't want to get it wrong, but it looked like 32 and 20 was like turning to like pursue him when he realized where the ball was going, so I threw it so he can like make a play on it, just so I don't throw it like a line drive to hit him in the face mask and they turn around and pick the ball. So I gave him the ball so he can jump a little bit. But I thought he did a great job, acrobatic catch, and I believe it was 2 feet in. You know, stand on that.
At this point, it's just you got to live with the call. I mean, you got to look on, obviously watch the film, see what we could do better to not throw ourselves in a situation where, you know, to leave in the ref's hands to be able to call that call and call the game. So, you know, all I say is just watch the film, see what we can improve on and go into next week.
Yeah, apparently some of the Ravens are going to hang on to that and believe that it was a touchdown. But you go and you look at the still photos. This was the right call made by the officiating crew. His toe, the toe of his shoe, was in fact out of bounds. Patrick Mahomes on the final play of the game.
Definitely nerve-wracking. I mean, because it looked good from my angle on the sideline. But then the first view you saw, you could see the cleat. So that's a great football team, and I'm sure we'll see him again at some point in the playoffs. So now we're happy with the win now, and he's got to wear white cleats next time. That's my advice for him.
That actually was something that you saw multiple times on social, and I'm looking at it now on the NFL Network as they're going back over the big plays, the big moments. It was initially called a touchdown, but it's very clear that the toe of his cleat is in fact on the white line, but they are black cleats for the most part. So if he has white cleats, maybe it doesn't show up as much. But I think with the technology now and the way they can slow down these frames, yeah, it was that close, which is just par for the course when it comes to the NFL. Game one of 272. We are off and running. Or as I was saying earlier, the NFL is back, baby, and better than ever. Glad to have you with us. We'll get to your calls next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you-
you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.